Yo, 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 what it do, what it do? We're Bike, episode 46, LA Khalil podcast.
Yeah.
My name, LA Khalil.
Derek G. Haynes, what's going on, everybody?
As you can remember, Derek G. Haynes was a special co-guest
in one of my... I guess you can say something like that, yeah.
With Derek. Shout out to Derek, of course.
Yeah, what's up, Derek? What's good?
He's back. He's just helping me out. We're going to have a good podcast, a lot to talk about, a lot of things to talk about. First and foremost, thanks for being here with me. Like you said, off mic, that's not just a new, you said a new era, but now this is like the new season.
Yeah, for sure. Yo, okay. 2022.
Yeah. How's it going? I want to know what's going on in the life of Derek, personal, if we can get into it, work related. How is that going for you?
Man, to be honest, I'm blessed, brother. You know, I've been working a lot, doing some new projects, doing some new things. Shout out to the Jumpman 23, the Russell Westbrook new shoes that had dropped. They had the promo drop on Nike.com, and I was, you know, blessed to be a part of that project. Also with Taya Cooper, so shout out to her as well, and everybody, all the cast and crew that was a part of that project. That was real dope. Had a fun time. Jesse Owen Park, you know, just going out there, being able to, you know, play some ball in between sets and, you know, getting to meet a lot of great people and just learning more about, you know, the industry and the business and just seeing more people that, you know, you can connect with and network with that's doing the same thing that you're doing. It was pretty cool.
I remembered that. It was a fun time because we were – I mean, that was kind of like the beginning, the start of our prime of hanging out, playing 2K. Mm-hmm. And then I think I mentioned me going to the basketball gym, the one that's across the street, and we tried it out. And it was like, oh, dang. You know, shout out to Tyler because he put me onto that gym. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, wow, our gym was, you know, closed for how many months, and we had this the entire time.
Yeah.
And I was a part of that process of you getting back into playing basketball.
Yeah, definitely.
Getting you into, you know, that role, getting fit, getting ready for that role. Mm-hmm. You know, pictures, videos, free throws, shooting, passing, all of that. Mm-hmm. It was cool. You know, was cool because it's like, you know, this isn't just some ordinary commercial. This is Jumpman. This is Westbrook. This is, you know, an actual real legit, you know, brand, Nike, Jumpman. That was cool. And it was really cool to be part of it myself. You know, gain some insight and doing it with a friend is always a cool feeling, always a good experience. For someone like yourself, you know, into acting, you know, modeling, you know, sports modeling, just what would you just recommend for an 18-year-old, a kid that's interested in acting, a guy your age, around your age, a seasoned veteran of life? How would you go about that?
Man, to be honest, excuse me, a lot of these guys now, you know, the social media, the you know, influencer, you know, a lot of these guys are taking advantage of, you know, the opportunity to be seen and market and promote their businesses and their talents. And I think it's cool. I think it's cool that, you know, other people who are outside the mainstream are getting attention and getting, you know, views and followers and things of that nature. I actually had started out on, not starting acting. I started acting when, you know, I was a kid, you know, I was a youngster, you know, like preschool, you know, when I started doing like stage acting, stuff like that for programs. But as far as like social media, like I can recall back when I had MySpace Battleboard, you know, that was back when they had like MySpace Music. And I actually used to be the host for the battles. We used to have all kind of guys, you know, all over, man. We used to have Coast Battles. I used to run it like, you know, Vince McMahon did WWE, you know what I'm saying? I was doing Fatal 4-Way matches, stuff like that. Then I had another friend of mine, shout out to K-Dog in H-Town, man. That's my dog. That's my homie. He actually was doing a YouTube TV show, I guess you could say.
Okay.
And this was back when, like, YouTube didn't have, you know, 4K UHD. It didn't have 1080p and all that. Like, this is back when it was looking like super buffering VHS pixel. Yeah, like, it was looking like some Minecraft or something. And I was actually... able to be a part of one of his episodes. Me and my brother, Shout out to Eric Haynes. He was also a part at Easel Entertainment. Easel, shout out to him. He was also able to be a part of that project as well. As well as my friend Blake Johnson, he was also able to be a part of that project. And they did the Tyke and Dookie show, and I was on there, and they had one episode. It was called Big Bad Derek. You can probably check it out on YouTube now. I don't know, you know, if he still has it up, but from my knowledge, it's still up on there. You know, I haven't checked it out. It's that was back in like 2007.
Right.
You know, and like I said, it don't. it is. You talking about throwback? Like this is super throwback, man. Like this is super retro stuff. And you know, like I said, the same thing for these guys. You know, they can, you know, create their own content on YouTube. If you're a musician, you know, you could go to a major label, but for what? You know, start your own stuff on, you know, Spotify, Tidal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cut the middleman out, like my boy Nip said. You know, RIP to him. And you know, yes, I think sir. that's the best way to go. I say if you can be in a position where you can do what you love to do entertainment, you're not going broke to do it. You know, you're saving money, you got good quality content, and you're able to express yourself to the entire world. I say, man, take full advantage of that and have fun doing it. You know, I think that's the most important thing. Have fun what you're doing, because, you know, when you do what you love, you never work a day in your life.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I like everything you said, and I like towards the end you were saying, like, you know, with social media, what you were saying related to me in, like, regards of, like, 2K or WWE, it's like creating your own player.
Mm-hmm.
Create your narrative. Create your own story, your own narrative, your own self. And with social media, you're given tools to create your own platform.
Exactly.
You know, I'm so glad you pretty much gave me an alley-oop. I was just about to get into it for myself.
I know you gonna dunk it. You go 360 windmill that bad boy.
Hey, it's gonna be better than the dunk contest.
Oh
New
my
year.
God! Yes.
I'll stop.
Oh man! Shout out to Jalen Green, but man, what happened in that dunk contest, man? I didn't get to see all. I just saw the highlights, but oh my gosh!
You know what? Not to go on a tangent, but you reminded me. The dunk contest was like when KD got his powers took from that movie, Thunderstruck.
Oh, Thunderstruck.
You remember that?
Oh, my gosh.
Or even Looney Tunes.
That's a throwback. But yeah, when he was back with OKC. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, that was before he had the beard and everything.
Everything.
Man, yeah, yeah.
But back to what you were saying, cutting out the middleman. Like, I just got into DistroKid and United Masters, just learning ways to conduct business for myself. And, you know, be a businessman, be an owner of my music, be an owner of my sound, be an owner of my narrative and my story from the beginning to the end, and not having to rely on people that, okay, you know what, we're going to give this big bag, but you're owing us two bigger bags, three bigger bags, four bigger bags, and not just money, but time, your life, you know, dang near your soul. You know, that's why some people think about that, you know, selling your soul for that. You know, for that platform. But I feel like if given the opportunity to, even if it takes longer, but to own your rights, own your masters, own your music, go for it, because a lot of people are going to see that and respect it more than just, you know, taking the ordinary route, which is, you know, I'm gonna get signed to a label, I'm gonna get signed, you know, here or here, and then, you know, you're gonna have to make a couple albums, you know, till you can get released. And nowadays, you know, even the greatest of artists, they release mid-tier albums or projects just so they can get those knocked out the park, so they can go solo, be independent, and, you know, have their own, you know, their own narrative. You know, for me, you know, the last couple months have not been easy. Mm-hmm. It's been a couple months since I've been able to do one of these. Mm-hmm. I try not to get emotional, but, you know, the last couple of weeks has been hard for me. You know, the month of February has been very hard for myself, because I recently lost an aunt that was very close to me.
Yeah.
You know, I was very close to her, you know, just when I was living down in the South, you know, every Sunday, you know, just she was a mom. She was a sister. She was an angel. She loved everyone. Never did she ever get on to me. Never did she get on to many people. You know, this is true. Her middle name is Love. L-O-V-E. You know what I mean? Like, you have Kevin Hart, but it's spelled differently. No, her actual middle name is Love. And I never seen her at any time throughout my life see her show anything but love.
Yeah.
And losing her has been an uphill battle. While I was there, I had lost a cousin to cancer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've never had experienced this level of loss before. When you lose a family member and then almost right after you lose another one, I've never had that experience before of losing so much. You know, you're not losing, you know, you can't put a price tag on people. You know what I mean? But, you know, when you lose an aunt or you lose a family member and one you were so close to, it feels like a piece of you is gone with them. Because I feel like that is true. Those memories, you know, those are memories that only you and that other person can share, you know?
For sure.
And it's been difficult. And I pride myself on being resilient, on being optimistic and being strong, because that's what, you know, my family is strong, resilient, and, you know, very faithful. You know, they stay to their faith. I stay to my faith. And shout out to Michael, because I had a chance to talk to Michael a couple of days ago. I think I told you. And
shout out to Mike.
Shout out to Mike. Shout out to Tyler.
Shout out to you too, Mike.
Shout out to Arthur too. I talked to Michael and I told him, because I just had a feeling, just ever since I got back and ever since everything started to happen, you know, maturity has a new level of maturity has come to me. And, you know, Michael, he's older in age, and I feel like he has more experience of having to deal with losing people and having to deal with these type of things.
A lot of wisdom.
So I just asked if I could talk to him, and we had a good talk.
That's good.
And, you know, we got from talking about, you know, dealing with, you know, with grief and how everyone grieves differently. And he told me to, you know, in this time, just continue to love myself, continue to help myself, you know, stay committed to working out, staying committed to eating better. And, you know, this, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is kind of like a fact within the African-American community. Two of the biggest killers of us is salt and sugar.
Yeah, this is facts, man. Like, you're speaking from the heart. Like, one of the things I learned too with dealing with you know, overcoming death, you know, grieving, things of that nature, because you know, I was dealing with learning how to cope with it. But what I learned is that it's not such a thing where it's like, okay, you lose somebody close to you and then that's it, like, it's over, you know, they're dead and gone. It's like, nah, you got to look at it in a way where it's like, hey, what would they want for your life? Right. And then in a way, it's like the older we get, you know, it's like we're presenting examples in our lives for others that they can read about, right? Because I'm not saying, you know, you necessarily have to write a journal of everything you do in your life, but some of the best stories that you can tell a person is how you live your lifestyle.
Right.
And your auntie left a beautiful legacy.
She did.
For you to say, hey, you know what? I can take what she left behind and run with that. And then, you know, look up, because you're like, hey, you know what? I want to do something that I know that's going to make her proud. And I want to do something that I know is going to be beneficial for me in this life. And so, you know, it's tough, because I know for me, you know, I used to get really, like, highly depressed when somebody close to me passed away, you know. And as time went on and as life went on, and I, you know, I did the same thing you did, because that's great advice that you was receiving from, you know, the OG Mike, because Mike, like you said, he's been through so much in his life. He's an older gentleman. That's what I did. I had to learn from the older guys. I learned from my dad, my granddad, you know, even my barber, he was an older gentleman. And they would just pour so much knowledge and wisdom to me. And when it came to grieving and death and stuff like that, I didn't know how to deal with it like that, because it was, like, new to me. You know what I'm saying? It was like when I was a kid, I would go to funerals, but it was, like, older people that my mother or father knew. But I'm like, I don't know them like that.
Right.
And they're like, oh, well, this is your great cousin or great auntie or uncle. You know what I'm saying? And it didn't hit me as much until it was like, oh, snap, my cousin.
Yeah.
Like, I actually talked to him and laughed with him. And, you know, we used to play hide and go seek and games and stuff like that, and, you know, and it was like more of a personal relationship. So overcoming that and then, you know, walking that out is really the beauty of it. You know what I'm saying? Because for me, I had lost my grandmother and my first nephew at the beginning of the year, you know, of not this year, but last year, 2021 in January, you know?
Right.
And I was like, wow, like that hit me, you know? Cause it was like your grandmother, like when your grandmother passed away, it's like, man, that's your big mama. You know what I'm saying? Like she's everything. You've known her literally your entire life. And the same thing, like, you know, with my nephew, you know, it was like my nephew, thank God I was able to go back home to go see him, to hold him, to, you know, spend some time with him. And now I'm just like, you know what? I want to do any and everything that I can to see that I'm doing them proud and doing them justice and you know, the things that they showed me in life. You know, I want to make sure that I'm, you know, doing the best that I can do. And that's all anybody can really ask anybody.
I respect that, and I definitely agree. You know, for me, when I found out my aunt died, I was just so taken aback. I was taken aback because, you know, I had just woken up. And, you know, when you wake up, you're like, yes, you know, you're like half, you know, you're like a zombie. Yeah. And I was able to still take in everything. And I understood how many just health scares that she dealt with. You know, she lost her husband the year before. And, you know, I was just trying to make sure that I knew that I need what I needed to feel like and I needed or needed to be. And I needed to be appreciative that my aunt is no longer in suffering and that my aunt is no longer in pain. And, you know, I'm going to miss her and I'm going to love her and do what I can to continue, you know, her legacy and the last name that we share. But also I need to, you know, also realize and continue to realize she's in a much better place. And I don't mean to sound cliche, but, you know, being in the gates of heaven and being with her, you know, her loved ones and being with her, you know, soulmate, her husband, you know, I can't be selfish to, you know, like, I want you here. You need to be here when, you know, when it's your time, it's your time, you know, and, you know, we don't operate on any other time except for God's time. We think we have time.
We're all time.
Exactly. We think we're
he don't
on
know nothing. He owns it all.
Nothing. Everything that we have, good or bad, everything we want is all through him. Yeah. And, you know, in my opinion, and I feel like if, you know, I could, you know, just been, I could have been crying for two reasons. You know, I want you here and I miss you. Yeah, of course I miss my aunt, but I'm also happy for her because her suffering is no longer here. Mm-hmm. Her pain is no longer here, and she can be in a place where she can be happy, painless for the rest of eternity. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy for her, and I'm happy for her and her husband.
Yeah. Definitely.
Other than that, you know, I lost my cousin. That was just a complete shock. You know, I called and just, you know, check in and then told me, you know, it's back to what you were saying about like when it's happened to when you're a kid and you lose family members, you don't really know who those were. You don't really know.
You're still learning life.
Exactly. Yeah. And when it happens to you, mm-hmm. you know, this was a new experience for me because I found myself being in the position of, you know, when I joke around, I just be talking mess. Mm-hmm. You know, you know, when I have nothing to talk about, when I just be like, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. And you be like, what's the bad news? I don't know. You tell me. I was, you know, like I literally found myself being the bearer of bad news. Like I never imagined being the person to tell my aunt, tell my sisters, Aunt Marie just died.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or, you know, our cousin just died. Our, you know, it hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts to be that being, you could have been having a great day. Mm-hmm. You know, my sister's in Germany. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's late for me. It's early for her. Mm-hmm. She could have been having a great day. Just got to work or just woke up, bed, you know, just got out of bed, breakfast, all that. And I tell her this news, devastation. And I heard... I don't mean to share too much of her business, but like I was literally talking to her and I you notice the shift in the voice. You notice the sniffling. You can hear it.
Yeah.
And I felt it. And I felt so devastated for her because I thought I was under the impression that she knew. You know, I thought she would have been known by that time. But for me to have, you know, been the bearer of that news, it just like I never been in that in those shoes before. Never.
Yeah.
You know? And I you know, it's those are a pair of shoes you never dream of being in. You always dream about being LeBron shoes, Kobe shoes, Mike shoes, you know, the Jordans, but you never imagine being in those shoes. And then it's when you have to be in those shoes, you have to be the bearer of that news and you have to break it down.
Yeah.
You know, literally my week, I've never had this week before. Mm-hmm. Monday is my cousin's funeral. Okay. Monday was my cousin's funeral. Tuesday, I get my wisdom teeth pulled out. And shout out to that dentist. I hate the dentist, but they were the most professional and the friendliest dentist I've ever went to. Mm. And, you know, when you're dealing with wisdom teeth, so that's already pain in the pockets and pain in the mouth.
Yeah.
And, you know, they gave me the they gave me the mask. You know, the thing you breathe through, you know, it goes in your nose. They gave me that. They gave me a couple of the numb gel. They gave me a couple shots. And for the most part, the pain wasn't so bad. Mm-hmm. And I had a moment of thinking to myself, because also, not to sidetrack, but, you know, I was playing 24. I don't know if you listened to that new Kanye album of Donda, but I was playing Donda. If everyone that's listened to Donda 24, you know what I mean. And I was listening to that, and the chorus, the repeated is, God's not finished. God's not finished. And I was just listening to it, and it was just a spark. Like, no matter how numb they put me in this operation, I can't get away of the pain of losing my family, of losing my aunt and my cousin. And I broke down. The dentist was thinking it was the pain that was getting to me. I was like, nah, yeah, bro. Like,
it's deeper than that.
You can only imagine the weeks I've had, you know, being here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have terrible teeth. Everyone says, smiles. No, you don't want to see me smile. Even though I do take care of my teeth while I can, but the teeth you can't see are the ones that are bad. The ones you can't see are the good ones, you know. I try to preserve those. But it's been difficult. And Wednesday, I fly out, you know. So the funeral and then the operation, can't talk for a couple of hours, can't eat nothing good. And then Wednesday morning, you know, I go out, I fly out, and I've been back since. And just thank God for the people. You're the main one. We just went out to the movies last night.
Yeah.
We watched The Kingsman.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how I feel about the movie personally, it was the experience that I had the most fun with, just going out with the bro.
Mm-hmm.
And then that same night's one of my guy's birthday was, it was his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had a good time.
You talking about the pool party?
Yeah, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah,
yeah.
And, you know, shout out to my guy. He's young, so I won't put his business out there. And then just playing 2K, you know, just playing 2K and just having fun playing the game, and then myself just working out, playing basketball, playing soccer with my guys, and just being around the people that I've been around the last year or so that I've became more than friends with, family. You know, these people have been, they've invited me into their homes. They've trusted me. You know what I mean? And so, you know, since I've been here, I've had a new family, not a new family as in like a better family, but an extension.
You still got your primary family, yeah.
An extension family.
Yeah.
And a while away from family, mm-hmm. you know? And they've supported me. They've understood. As hard as it is to communicate sometimes, you know, not knowing English the best, but to communicate to them of losing someone,
mm-hmm.
you know, they've been supportive. They've been understanding.
Yeah.
And, you know, all love goes to them. All, for you sure. know, wishes goes to them. You know, you, Michael, you know, I've talked to y'all. And back to, like, that salt and sodium thing. you know, we just talking about like how in the African American community, those are two of our biggest killers,
yeah,
besides the cops. But, you know, he was just talking to me about the apps and how he puts in all the things and tracks. And he was talking to me about like using apple cider vinegar, drink some of that, like add a couple teaspoons of that at night. And it just starts breaking down the fat while you're asleep. He's just putting me on game. And that's what I was already thinking. Like, I need to talk to him. I'm sure he has just jewels and gems of knowledge and wisdom. And he was just, you know, just talking to me about staying committed. Yeah. You know, it's just staying with it. And, you know, he was talking to me about, like, putting in the info. Like, you can lie to the phone, you know, and it's going to tell you what you want to see. But you... your body's not gonna lie. You can't cheat those results.
Listen to your body. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Your body is gonna show the truth.
Yeah.
You're gonna put in, you can lie all you want to the phone, but it's the body that you're working on, not the phone. And he was just telling me, just, you know, giving me words of encouragement as I needed, and just, you know, condolences and things of that nature. And it was a good conversation. And you know, one thing that I am grateful for, not getting back, but getting into more of, I just been writing more music, you know, since everything, you know, I was writing music when I got there.
You got any samples for us?
I'm going to. I'm going to have some samples soon.
You writing like songs or songs, like bars? Or
songs. You know, real.
So you're doing like singing, R&B?
Singing,
style or what?
Rapping, emo,
Drizzy, huh?
Emo, just all in my emo bag. Just
neo soul in there.
I wish.
I love music so.
You know, if I get on some like some
some
SWV, Jhené Aiko, you know, some real soulful, sad stuff. But that's what I want to talk to you. Talk to you about is just like, what do we have in store for Derek in regards of new projects? Mm-hmm. You know, do you have any more commercials? What do you have going on for yourself? Or what do we have to expect in upcoming weeks, upcoming months, upcoming year?
So I actually just started working with the Dinner Detective Theater. I used to work with the Murder Mystery Company when I was in Houston. So now that I'm out here in California, I recently got hired to work with the Dinner Detective, I want to say at the end of December or beginning of January, one of those. But I started recently in Claremont. And so, man, it's been a blessing. It's real fun. You know what I'm saying? It's real fun. Love the cast. Love everybody that's involved in it. Shout out to the Dinner Detective crew out there in Claremont, man. That's my family. That's my people. Love them. Also, I'm still doing, I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but the voice acting, like I have the Thug Smack deal that I'm doing. Yeah, the Thug Smack. I'm doing that. Right now I'm kind of like in between doing like dual roles. But it's cool. I love it, man. It's something that's right up my alley. And, you know, I thank God for it, man. To be honest, this whole ordeal has just been a blessing because I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but this is literally like my second go around out here in California because the first time was back in 2005. 2005, I came out. You know, I went to New York, did the IMTA modeling competition. It was like modeling slash talent, you know, little convention they had in New York. Went there, did my thing. Won some awards, got some agencies looking at me, all that good stuff. Now, mind you, this is the same agency, or not agency, but the same convention that Eva Longoria, she's been successful, went there, won some titles. Ashton Kutcher, he also went up there, won some awards at the IMTAs, you know what I'm saying? So this is like a big deal, right? Like it was a big deal, a huge event, New York. I mean, you know, that's the Mecca, so... Went there, did my thing. I thought, bam, that's it. Like I'm, you know, I've made it, right? Like I'm about to just go all out. Went there. What ended up happening? I went to work with Catherine Gately and Richard Poole. Went to DeKalb, Illinois, and they actually helped me. They trained me further in acting because around that time period in that era of acting. I was heavy into, like, you know, action comedy stuff, right? Because it was like, okay, I can, you know, rough up some people and I can, you know, do some comedy, you know, improv and slapstick stuff. But what I greatly appreciate from Catherine and her husband, Richard, was that they challenged me to really, you know, step outside the box. You know, it was like, all right, yeah, comedy and, you know, stunt fighting, all that's your bread and butter. Let's see you do, like, some dramas and some romance stuff. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And around that time, you know, I wasn't doing nothing like that because I was, you know, so heavy in the comedy and the stunt fighting and all that. Because that's what I like watching. I always like watching action adventures, right? Mm-hmm. But they really took me to a whole new stage in my craft. And so I thank God for them. Shout out to them, Catherine Gailey and Richard Poole, man. Shout out to you guys. Love you guys. They have a huge impact in regards to who I am today. And so now, you know, this is my second go-around, right? Moved out here 2019. First 2 weeks I moved out here, did a commercial with Vera Trent, you know, and that was a success. It was, you know, a great, great thing to be a part of, great project, met some great people, great networking. And it's just been like a ride ever since, man, you know. Went on, you know, a couple game shows, did the Cobb and Dollar show, and, you know, met some great people, you know, got to meet Steve Harvey, got to, you know, go to NBC, Universal Studios, you know, all these different platforms, man, mm-hmm. And these were places that I just dreamed about when I was a little kid, and the fact that now it's, like, a reality, and it's like, wow, this is, like, part of my job, and I get to do exciting things, you know, so now I'm just trying to...
Remind them where you come from and how old you are. Oh. Doing these things.
Yeah, well, I'm like you, from the South, from Houston, Texas, and I'm currently 38. Don't feel like it though.
So think about that. I wanted you to say that so yeah. You know, there can be an emphasis on continuing your journey.
Yeah.
You sure. Know, think about yourself, think about Jay-Z. You know, he was early 30s when he first dropped an album. Of course, what he was doing was a bit, you know, he kept busy with his, you know, slinging weight before all that music. But, you know, you don't have to rush success. You don't have to rush or speedy up the process. This is your deal with music. I've been writing music since high school, and most of my guys and friends that know me from, you know, Granada, everyone knows the story about me. I was madly in love with this girl. We both liked Drake, and she inspired me to write poetry tour, and I was good at it. And so, you know, Views is around the time Views dropped. So I was like, what if I actually started making music? So all of the success I'm about to have is all credit to her, of course. But, you know, my point is, it doesn't matter if it takes you 10, 15, 20 years. As long as you're growing within what you love, as long as you're making actual investments in what you love and you're just building, there's no need to try to gain any validation, any quick validation. Just continue doing what you're doing. You know, you don't have to just, you know, one day you can grow. It's not a bad thing. Because nowadays with social media and this new age, it's if you don't have it by this certain age, you're done. You're bad. You're out of your league. You're out of your prime. You're too old. But here is a guy from the South. The South doesn't have so many opportunities like in LA, New York, even in Chicago, maybe Miami, but Florida's Florida. You know, it's his own place. But here's a 38-year-old African-American man from the South doing what he loves, getting paid, you know, getting paid enough not to worry about those toll poles. You know what I mean?
Well, they're not bad.
They're not that bad. Yeah. But, you know, getting what he wants.
Yeah.
And it just it's a testament to your success, a testament to your faith. You know, trusting yourself, trusting the process, trusting what you're doing. You don't have to do it all at once. You don't have to be great at everything at once. Trust me, sometimes life is a game. It doesn't really feel that way, but you don't have to get all the, you know, the attributes maxed out in the first game is not going to happen. You got to keep playing. You're not going to win every game in 2K or at Park. You're going to win some. Hopefully you win a lot more than you lose. But take value from the losses and take what you can learn from and be better at from the losses, and take what you did right from the wins and try to be better at those too. You know, it's you can play as good as you can. You can play the best basketball, but at the end of the day, it's still a team sport. You got to have other players hitting their shots, boxing out, playing hard, playing smart, you know, playing with, you know, effort. And, you know, what's interesting is I've been playing with the Lakers. We've been playing 2K22, not, you know, 2K21, but 2K22, where Russell Westbrook is a 78, 79 no overall, right? And I've used the Lakers every game.
Shout out to Russ, by the way.
Man. Shout out to Russ. I've used the Lakers for every game, and I don't mean to knock, you know, to my own horn, but I've been winning every game.
Yeah, he's been hot. Yeah, it's been good.
You know, what's different between me playing with the Lakers versus the Lakers is effort. That's it. It's effort. Is I'm playing hard on defense. I'm playing smart. Most of the turnovers I've had is usually coming from Russ. But other than that, it's like I'm playing smart and I'm playing with effort. I'm playing with care, you know, and I'm not playing terrible lineups like Frank Vogel is. Like, you have to just have effort. You have to have care. You just have to want to do it. And, you know, every day just learn from it and be good at it. You know, strive for greatness. You get what I'm saying? To strive for greatness. Not everyone's going to come out into the league like LeBron. LeBron is a once in a lifetime player, athlete, person. You get what I'm saying? You have to just learn to trust yourself, trust what you're doing, and just go from it from there.
I'll say this too. A lot of this definitely has to do with you know, me just putting God first. At the end of the day, you know, no matter how successful I am, no matter how much, you know, people are looking up to me or whatever, at the end of the day, it's about, you know, it's all about God, man. Like, I don't know how else to put it. Like, he put me on this journey, you know, and it hasn't always been an easy journey, because, you know, sometimes you're going to have doubters and you're going to have, you know, people who speak against what you believe in and what you want to do. But the way I look at it is, you know, when challenges are presented, that's an opportunity for you to be successful. You know, you were talking about, you know, the Lakers. You know, obviously they're not playing the greatest basketball right now, but, you know, it's what, like, what, 18, 17 some games left in the season. You know, I always tell people, man, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. So, you know, we still got to give props that, you know, the L.A. Laker franchise is still one of the most dominating franchises in, you know, NBA sports history, if not maybe even sports history, right? And, you know, they do have experience. They won, well, not necessarily the guys on this team, but, you know, LeBron and AD definitely, you know, and even Dwight, you know, have championship experience. So, you know, if you want to win a championship, you know, you're going to have those struggles. You're going to have things that are always going to go your way, you know. Like, heck, I remember watching the Houston Rockets back in, you know, 95, and they were, what, the six-seeded team in the freaking NBA playoffs, right? And they made NBA history. You know, they literally had an uphill battle every single round from the first, second, third, and the NBA Finals. They were never the team that had home field advantage. You know what I'm saying? They had to go against Utah with Karl Malone, John Stockton. They were a 60 win plus team, you know. They had to go against Barkley and the Suns again. They had the same results they had in the first two games, went down 0-2, went against the Spurs where they messed up and gave David Robinson that MVP trophy in front of Hakeem Olajuwon, and he took them to school, and then Shaq went and swept, you know, Shaq and the Magic. So, you know, it like I tell people, it's not always how you start, it's how you finish. And, you know, I could complain about the start I had, right? Because I was like, wasn't that the start I thought I have, and, you know, where I go and this and that. But I think at the end of the day, it really just comes down to the person making a conscious decision on what they actually want to do. You know, if a person is like, hey, I want to, you know, do entertainment, or, you know, even a 9-to-5 job. Like, if it's like, hey, I want to work in construction. I did construction for over 10 years. And, you know, I actually love, you know, the construction industry because, you know, I met a lot of good guys working in that industry. I learned a lot about, you know, construction. And, you know, so it's not a bad thing. You know, at the end of the day, it just comes down to what you want. You know, if a person just like, well, I'm going to just do whatever pays the most money. Well, it's like, yeah, you can do something that pays a lot of money, but if you don't really like it, then right. You just made a lot of money and you're miserable. You know, I know people who were accountants and they're like, oh, I made all this money, but they hate it. So it's like, nah, man, like, you know, that's why, to be honest, that's why I got so much respect for teachers, because teachers don't get paid a lot of money, but they do a lot of work. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot they have to do. It's a lot of prepping and planning. And then, you know, they got to go with, you know, especially if like they're a public school teacher, they got to go with the public school system and all this stuff. So it's a lot, man. And shout out to my sister Erica Haynes. She's a teacher in Houston, Texas, man. And you know, I was blessed to hear from her perspective about, you know, being a teacher and how it is to, you know, try to teach these kids in this era, you know, especially the social media, you know, internet crazed, you know, cell phone, tablet era. I can only imagine how it is now. You know what I'm saying? Because when I was coming up, it was like we were getting introduced to like the internet. Like, I remember going on NBA.com in like 97, right? It was like, oh snap, I was able to go on the internet in class and look up stats in the class. And that was like a big deal to me, you know, just looking up stuff like that, because I wasn't doing that before, you know. And then later on, you know, they had more stuff related to the internet, but nowadays it's like everything is online, everything is this and that. And now the new wave is VR, right? Everybody's going to the VR era. Like, this is the future, this is the wave, you know, all this metaverse talk and all this stuff, you know, with Microsoft and Google and Facebook, all this stuff, you know, cryptocurrencies and, you know, what's the other one, NFTs, yeah, you know what I'm saying, people buying avatars and buying digital land and all this stuff, you know what I'm saying? They taking it to a whole nother world, man. It's like the Matrix right before our eyes. It's like Matrix and, you know what I'm saying, Ready Player One all here. Like, so it's crazy, you know. But, you know, you just got to adapt and learn and grow from all this stuff and just keep it moving. I think at the end of the day, don't let anybody kill your dreams. Don't let nobody try to turn your dream into a nightmare, you know what I'm saying? Because when you try to live for somebody else, and they vision, that's when stuff starts falling apart. But the last thing you want to do is regret and say, oh man, I wish I would have done this, or I could have done this, or I should have done that. It's like, nah, don't do that. It'd be wiser to make the attempt, because you miss 100% of shots you never take. So it's like, nah, just, you know, if you feel like you're on that edge of that cliff and you're like, man, I'm about to jump off, hey, look, you're either going to fall or fly. You know what I'm saying? It's either going to be one or another. So you got to take that risk, and you never know unless you make the jump. You got to make that leap of faith.
I completely agree. I mean, everything you just said was facts, spoken from the heart. And I've one more thing from the movie on The Kingsman. I like what he said. He said if God wanted man to fly, he would have given his rings. And then the son was like, well, you drive my father's car, don't you? You weren't born with wheels. That was very smart. That was very smart. But back to everything you said, I agree. And I hope everyone heard everything he said and understands it and gets to it. Again, like, just beef. I say this because not everyone believes in God. But if you don't believe in God, you better believe in yourself. You have to have faith in something and someone. You have to have a belief in someone. And if it's not in God, please have a belief in yourself, because you have to believe in something. You have to put some type of emotional investment into something. You know, why do you wake up every day? You know, what drives you to be great? What drives you to finishing the days, right? Not every day is going to be good. I was talking to Michael about this, and I said, yo, ever since this is happening, and I came up with that on the fly, just a term for it. I was like, yo, ever since everything's been happening, I've been trying to appreciate the good days, the bad days, and the neutral days. And he said he never heard of that. And you know what? I've never said it until I said it. And I was just so thankful I was able to have a term for it. Neutral days, when it's not good and it's not bad. Those are days I cannot take for granted, because, you know, it's kind of like lukewarm, you know, 50-50 is not bad, not good. It's just what's going on. Take advantage of those, you know. Your emotions not compromised. Your body's not compromised. You're not feeling sad, but you're not happy. But you can have some joy. You can be joy. You know, you can appreciate not being, you know what I mean? Being able to be in that moment of like, yo, self-realization. I don't feel so great, but I don't feel bad. I don't feel sad. There's no sorrow. Like having that self, you know, realization and that, just being able to really be in the moment, you know, just some things I'm trying to learn and really capture for myself as I continue, you know, in the journey in this game called life, you know what I mean? And it's been tough this year, but hey, God doesn't give us anything we can't handle, anything we can't go through and, you know, persevere from. Exactly. And to everyone that's dealing with the loss, I know COVID is still a big deal. To everyone that's dealing with the loss of a loved one, a friend, if you feel like you're losing yourself, you know, I more than just pray that you get back on that track that you need to be on, that you belong to. You know, I pray that you really get a good grip of just yourself and some love. Get a hold of some love, of some appreciation. Find something. Find your circle. I told Michael, bro, you know, when I made it back to my family, I gained about 10 pounds a couple of days because, you know, all that cooking, home, soul food, I gained a good quick 10 pounds, if not more than that. But, you know, I'm back where I know I need to be, and I got to get back on that track of health, of mental health, physical health, putting myself first again, and being the best version I can be. And sometimes the best versions of ourselves come through the worst of situations. You know, adversity. You know, being down 3-1. Forget being down 3-1. Imagine being down 3-0. You know, the next game is it. Not just 3-1, but 3-0 swept. Imagine being down that. It can always be worse. And, you know, for myself, I want to just start appreciating and being more in the moment and loving myself and loving what I got and loving what I don't, you know, because again, it can always be worse. We can always have worse circumstances, situations. I love me. I love family. I love my art, music, God, love people, even though I can have bad days. But guess what? I'm never going to have a day where I feel like I hate myself or I want to harm myself or put someone else at harm, you know. Always remember you got something to give, and don't mean to give to others, right? Give to yourself. You always have something to give to yourself. Always remember that. Always remember to love yourself and just learn yourself through everything, you know. And one last thing, you probably don't have too much information on it, but everyone, I hope everyone enjoyed the season finale of Euphoria. It's a wrap. I haven't seen it. I caught a couple minutes of it, but Zendaya, I already know you killed it. Hunter Shavner, shout out to Hunter. Everyone a part of it. Sam Levinson, I'm jealous because I want to be on Euphoria. I know I'd be great for it. Season 3, come on. Yeah, I know y'all just got the new deal for it. But other than that, thank you for your time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Thank you for your time. Yes, sir.
I was going to say, too, speaking of Zendaya, she killed it, too, in that Spider-Man No Way Home.
She did kill it in Spider-Man No Way Home.
Classic, man. That is an iconic superhero movie, man, for sure.
Yes, sir. You know what? Yeah, let Zendaya be the last thing we talk about because she deserves it. We love you, Zendaya. I love you.
We love you.
peace.
Peace.